You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of D, Ali Muhammad.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is In the Conversation. Yes, it's your man D Lemon right here. On my right side, I got
El Capitan Vladimir Camaño.
On the left side,
Ali Muhammad in the building.
What's poppin', fellas? How y'all doing, man?
D Lemon is back in the building.
In the motherfucking house.
Man, I listened to the last week. Man, that shit was horrible. Now that shit was dope, man. I really like hearing about fucking Disco Dave.
Disco Dave
made the bass come out so clear.
We need to have Disco Dave on the fucking podcast, man. Yeah, man.
Unacknowledged. Yeah, man. Unacknowledged legend.
But he got to only talk in echo mic.
That's the worst. Oh, that's fucked. Yo, they did that to me. I did a show with Staten Island. The fucking DJ just started putting my mic on echo. But it was like four people in the building, so I didn't give a fuck. So we just started having fun with it. But what I wanted to do.
Stand-up comedy in a cave.
Oh, it's terrible. Horrible, man. But it was added a little punch to certain lines. But what I wanted to say when you said unacknowledged legend, right? I was...
Which is your worst fear, probably.
Nah, not even my worst fear. I think nobody wants that. I was
hood anxieties.
I was at the cellar, and Ari Shaffir was talking about who dropped in. I forget. Oh, Tony Woods did a spot, and Ari Shaffir brought him up as one of the most underrated black comedians in comedy today.
A whole lot of adjectives.
And fucking Hoboy was tight about that shit. Like, and I was telling her, I was like, no, first of all, nobody want to be
underrated.
You don't want to say a nigga under. I think when you say somebody's underrated, they just be like, yo, nobody know about you yet, but I see something. Like, it's just.
Underrated black
comics. So, like, we super marginalized. We way out here. You.
Like, amongst the black comedians, he's the most underrated.
Even in that circle.
Damn.
But I was just saying, unacknowledged legend. You definitely got to just get that man the legend card. They know it.
What do you say, exactly. The cautionary tale? What's that line you always use?
I forget. You just don't want to be a cautionary
tale.
You want to be a success story, not a cautionary tale.
No doubt.
Oh, man.
Well, death is always a good way out, right, Dean?
Death, it depends on the time.
On the time, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want
to. Doesn't death get you hot, Dean?
Not on the wrong foot.
Not at the wrong time. not too early.
You're on the wrong foot. You know what I'm saying? It's like musical chairs and shit. Get caught without a chair, you're on your ass.
Died right on the bubble.
Damn.
Almost. You got hung.
Bang.
Timing was off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He had just stayed alive 6 more months.
He would have been all right.
This guy would have been somebody. Oh, shit.
Avengers 2 trailer. You saw the Avengers 2 trailer?
I saw like a bootleg joint from a Comic Con. Is that the one you saw, or they got an official one?
They got the
out?
Official. When you talking about death, I was like, that's one of those. I saw the trailer, dude. I was like, God, please don't let me die until I see this damn movie, dog.
That is looking crazy.
We just need to stay alive for this one.
You ready for it?
I don't even know. This look hot. But that's a total side note. I got dragged off.
You
by
thought
the
turtles looked hot too,
and that was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't even watch horrible. That. I didn't even watch. I had a clear copy. I let it lie. After you shitted on it, I was like, I'm good. The first one was trash back in the day, so I wasn't. With Vanilla Ice,
that's part two.
I missed the turtle era, but you know we can continue.
I think I saw the first Ninja Turtles on a bootleg. That's how far back my bootleg game go. I saw that shit on a bootleg VHS
when it took actual effort to record.
Yeah, you had to know somebody. That shit was really
it took
real.
Work. You had to sit there and record tapes.
Oh man,
yeah.
What's up, Muhammad? What's going on?
Oh man, life is good, man. You know, I was listening to the radio last night.
Where
they had it was late night. My son went to buy this game, so we had this GameStop run at 12 o'clock in the morning.
It was a line out there. Or?
It wasn't a line. We pre-ordered it
at midnight.
Yeah, it was a midnight sale of what's the new game came out? One of them shits.
I would never know. One is of it them. A sports game or
no? It's like one of them. Assassin's Creed something.
The newest.
The new shit with okay. the in France.
Okay.
So
if it's new, it's got to be France.
Like a Madea.
In France and shit.
Madea's Creed in South Carolina.
Assassin's Creed got arrested. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we went to go pick up the game and shit. And then the radio was playing. I forget what DJ was late at night, but they had this thing called his show. This particular show was dedicated to the Big Brothers and shit.
Okay.
Because, you know, and they was playing all old school hip hop and they had Eric Sermon up there and shit. And then I just realized that I'm the motherfucking Big Brother that he talking about. It's basically like the old school show. Like playing all the 80s hip hop and shit. He was playing all the joints from my era. I'm like, oh, that's the shit.
Oh.
Then he opened up the mic. Yeah, this is the Big Brother show. It's dedicated to all the Big Brothers. I had my Big Brother. He was, you know, he like real old right now, but this was his song.
Oh, man.
I'm like, this motherfucker hit on ruined the show.
Don't tell me I'm the old guy.
I'm an OG right now.
Like 80s hip hop or 80s?
It was 80s hip hop, and it was playing. Like you said, he had Eric Sermon up there. And
Rakim?
But Eric Sermon was in the building.
Oh.
And then he was dropping jewels, though. He was just saying how, you know, shit, he's still living out there off of his 80s checks.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like he was just saying, you know, people don't realize, you know, after all that shit I done, you know, I could still go swimming in my pool and play tennis in my backyard and
still
shit.
Still got money.
Exactly. And then he started breaking down all the hits he had. You know, it's like we had six, you know what I'm saying, hits back to back. We had four back to back, but we had six, you know what I'm saying, number one records.
Wow.
Then, you know, Keith Murray.
And was, he produced all of this.
You know what I'm saying, was gold and Redman was platinum. Yeah. So, you know, it was like, you know, a wake up call, like back to what we was talking about last week with the catalog and shit. It was
catalog.
It was like, you know, get your work in, you know what I mean? And shit, you can call him an OG if you want.
That's a hell of a name for a memoir. I still got money.
Still got money. Chapter 5, residuals.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, savings account.
Savings. Residuals is the motherfucking man. So yeah, I was, you know what I'm saying, I had to think about that. My son was in the back. This is your music.
your music.
And he was like, you're a Big Brother.
I like how there's so many different euphemisms for old guy.
That's a lot.
OG. Big Brother.
Wisdom.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the God. You know what I'm saying? That's the God. You gotta pay attention. Uncle. Everybody call you Uncle.
Yeah, Uncle. Once you hit Uncle status, you own.
That's it.
I remember when Luke first hit the uncle status.
Mm-hmm.
He was Luke Skywalker, then he was Luke, and then at one point he just became Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke. I guess he was uncle before Snoop was uncle.
Yeah,
was he hip hop's first uncle?
He probably was hip hop's first uncle.
Yo, hit us.
Except for Uncle Russ.
Oh, yeah, but was Uncle Russ after Uncle Luke?
Might have been.
That's a great introduction.
Yo,
hip hop's first uncle.
Who's
hip hop's
first? Holla back on the Facebook page. Who's hip hop's first uncle? If we live with somebody
else, Uncle Luke might have been hip hop's first uncle.
Luke might
you think
have.
So?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Who
it wasn't no Uncle Grandmaster Flash.
Nah.
Uncle Red.
Melly Mel.
Uncle Red. Red Alert.
Uncle
Red might have been before Uncle Luke. I don't know. We got to see.
Cool Herc.
Nah, but he wasn't ever Uncle Herc.
He ain't make it to Uncle.
Uncle L, Future of the Funk. He made himself an uncle when he was still young.
Uncle L, he the one brought the uncle to the game.
Self-proclaimed.
Uncle L. Future of the Funk. Yeah, that's
what
he was
wearing.
On fire. Oh, shit, man. Anyway, B. Let me say, just all the euphemisms. Like, even in the corporate world, if a young cat call you his mentor, see you as older, he trying to get your job. Hey, could you be my mentor? That young man is letting you know he's taking your fucking head off.
He's a prodigy.
It's over for you.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people getting old. Speaking of old people, how's Bill Cosby doing?
Oh, Bill's doing old people shit. He's fucking up on the computer.
Uncle Cosby taking licks.
Hey, if you don't know, Bill Cosby jumped on Twitter. Was this yesterday?
Yeah, somebody on his team.
Somebody, I guess his social media manager, thought it would be a good idea to upload a photo of himself.
And say, meme me.
And meme me. Now, even if you don't, like,
Is this a time for speculation, gentlemen?
No, not yet. Let him finish the breakdown.
Even if you a guy in good standing with the internet, Mimi is a
That's risky.
That's a loaded. That is a gamble. That's throwing your balls on the table.
I don't even see why people even still do the ask. Such and such as it
is. Dude, I felt a little nervous when I said, yo, we about to tape in the conversations. You guys got any questions? I was like, hey, come some slander.
You know what I'm saying? Real bad questions.
Because that's the thing, I think when you older, I don't think you realize, not even when you're older, I don't think certain people, they don't get that the internet is a two-way conversation.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? This ain't television. This is not one way where you on TV and you're speaking at people. They could come right at you, literally.
And
right.
they could not even be in that conversation and still throw your ass under the bus just for the sake of
just
it.
Just for kicks.
Just for, you know what I'm saying, shits and giggles.
Just because they had Photoshop open.
You know what I'm saying? That's what the social media is, man. That shit is comedy.
R. Kelly made a similar mistake at one point. Didn't he do the social media calls?
But you would think Bill Cosby had a little more sense than that.
I think someone on his staff is just vindictive and he pissed him off.
Mm. But either he's got somebody on his staff, then his staff members probably rapped, first of all. But beyond that, you still kind of disconnected when you gotta see the thing about. I think when you talk about social media, it's very intimate. It's really hard to delegate social media to someone else when you're a personal brand. You're not a corporation. You're Bill Cosby, so Bill Cosby needs to be present to account for everything that he puts out, social media related. And then when you just let somebody else do it, and you just like, hey, yeah, tell a computer to make
a
funny
thing. That somebody else did. Maybe he did put that
Maybe
shit
up there. He did, which I could kind of hear him saying, me, and then he not knowing.
Yeah.
And that shit came back. And the fucked up part about it was I came to it late. So when you click on the link where it say meme, you go to his website, right?
Yeah.
And then they still had, they took the meme shit down, but they still had the social media, you know what I'm saying?
The trail
coming up on the site, popping up every time somebody tweet that shit. Uh-huh. And all of the slander is just popping up on your web, on your
you
personal
can't stop
website.
Because it has the hashtag, it has all
you
that
gotta
other stuff.
You got to take that shit down for a minute.
I got a question, though. But imagine if my man is this savvy, right? Imagine if he's one of these guys that's like, I want to do a temperature check.
Like, survey?
What's the best way to see how the motherfuckers feeling about me out there? How about I just say meme me, and I see what you feel, and then you say, okay, they ain't fucking with me just yet. I can't come back out. I'm a hold off for another few months. You never know. Maybe that was his social media person saying, listen, let's give them a swing at you.
Yeah. Right, let them get it all out of
their
system.
Yeah, let them tire themselves out throwing them punches, and you come back 3 months later. You know what I mean?
Speculation.
Yeah. Mm. Man, but who
it's
knows?
Like a focus group.
Yeah, that would be dope. That would be dope if Bill was like, man, I knew what the fuck I was doing. Yeah, man, I knew what the
That's
fuck
That's the
I was.
Best y'all got.
That's it? Shit.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's definitely not coming out with anything now.
Shit, yeah. He got a TV show coming.
I don't know. I think they put it on hold.
They might have. Why not?
I think they put it on hold.
As long as that check cleared, he might be okay.
No doubt.
Fucked up. Oh,
the
man.
Cause.
Yeah, shit. Man, shit is real out here in these streets.
Especially on the train.
On the motherfucking F
train. That girl
train.
Got slapped.
Ooh.
Nah, she ain't just get slapped, man.
Shit.
That motherfucker lit her ass up into a new time zone.
But she was still...
She got hadoukened.
She was still up, though.
And she was still up.
Like, it wasn't she got knocked out.
No, she got knocked... Well, she got dazed and confused for... It was quite a bit of a moment.
But the sound of the clap didn't match what I expected.
I see.
Nah.
I
mean,
like, the bark was a lot louder than the bite.
Nah,
like,
player. She disappeared out the scene. Look at that shit again. She vanished.
She was so happy her homeboy stepped in.
She vanished.
No problems.
She vanished from that little space and time.
You said you saying she got interstellar?
She got interstellar. She got beamed up, Scotty. She got slapped in the next week.
She got Hadouken.
She got the black gravity. Slapped off her ass.
Oh, man.
And, you know what I'm saying? We don't condone the violence up here.
No, we do not.
No violence against the nobodies. Mm-hmm. But this motherfucker here slapped my man upside the head with a pair of 6-inch stiletto heels.
Oh, is that what she hit him with?
Yeah, she hit him with the shoes.
Oh, I thought she swung on him.
No, she had the shoes and she hit him in the back of the head with the shoes.
That's why I said I blame Steve Madden for the whole shit.
No, wait, we're going to get to Steve. Going to get to Steve.
A quality shoe.
But she, you know, she talking shit. My man ain't saying much, you know what I'm saying? It was really the cat with the phone that kind of got it riled all up. Because he was like, you know what I'm saying?
Kept fucking with her.
He was like, nobody don't even wear Steve Madden's no more.
Which, yeah.
And then, you know, that's when they got hot with him. And then she got back on my man, who was slightly, mildly, probably a little special.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. Them beach.
Yeah.
You said, what you call me?
Hit her with that special strength.
Yeah. What you call me? And hit him upside the head with the dogs.
I mean, man.
That shit hurt. You get hit in the back of the head with some shoes.
Never try a nigga with an 8-ball jacket in 2014. That was your first mistake.
Nothing to lose.
You saw the red flag. You clearly commented on the red flag. It is, what, 4 o'clock in the morning? This nigga standing on the train is desolate, but this nigga chose to stand with an 8-ball jacket on, and you want to fuck with. And he had a coonskin cap on? He was from 2 different eras. This nigga, come on, that's where he took that slap from fucking 84.
That shit went way back. He went way back with that slap. That was 76.
Shit, who?
82, 87, 89, 95, 99.
This is for the older brothers.
2014.
The big brother.
For the big brothers out there.
The big brothers out there.
This is how we take the old from the new.
I'll say this though, man. Anytime you add a camera, I learned this when I used to be a counselor with students. Anytime you add a camera, anytime you add a fourth wall, it makes a theater.
What's up, audience?
And people start acting and start increasing the drama. Like, oh, I'm being taped.
Well, she got the drama.
She got it. She knew she was being taped from the beginning because she definitely closed. Like, she went in on him and then sat down as if she was done. And she was announcing her credits. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's when it got to the next level. She said Steve Madden. And homeboy was like, the fuck out of here with that Steve Madden.
And that wasn't the dude. That was the cameraman.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Now, let's get to Steve Madden.
Go ahead.
Now, Steve Madden, why are we blaming on Steve Madden?
I'm joking, man. Steve don't need to take no L.
I'm blaming it on Steve Madden.
This is why.
I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
But you go ahead.
All right. This is the thing about, what I thought was funny about. Steve Madden was the catalyst that pushed this whole shit forward.
Over the edge.
In the way that, okay, she just stunted on this kid, right? Mm-hmm. Shitted on his whole attire.
You need to get your money up.
And then this is the thing. This is the thing too, because we should talk about this. It's Subway related as well.
Mm-hmm.
But fucking, you know, it's one thing about broke people, and I'm assuming, you know what I mean? We on a train at like 4 o'clock in the morning. If you got a couple dollars, you're gonna Uber it out safely.
Take a cab.
You on a train with done took your dogs off? Cause your toes, your corns hurting.
Yeah, your feet hurt, and you on a long ass train ride. Your paper might not be where you want it to be. You know what I'm saying? But your paper's better than this nigga over here, the 8-ball jacket.
Right.
So this is what I see, where I see some shame, and this is where black people, this is not black, pardon me, this is where broke people like to make other broke people feel broke.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely, shit on them, motherfucker.
And the only signifier was the fact that she had some Steve Madden shoes. Now, with the referee, who was the cameraman, that nigga blew the whistle and said, wait a minute, ma. This ain't
people don't even wear them no more.
Nah, I can see if it was 03, you might be able to pull off with that. And if it was Long Island, you might maybe push it to 2005. You know what I mean? But it's 2014. Steve Madden is fucking, it's, you know, anybody. It's pretty an all-access shoe. You could have, you know what I mean? So he called her on that shit. And then it all hell broke loose. She felt the way. Hold on, nigga. Da, 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 da. Smacked his camera a couple times. Then I didn't notice, but smacked the dude in the head with the Steve Madden. Now, them shits is hard ass shoes.
Them some hard bottoms.
Yeah.
Now, this is why we blame it on Steve. Now, when Steve came to the game, his explosion was when he made the knockoff of the Louboutin that Beyonce wore that was like a Timberland.
The Timberland boot.
The Timberland boot.
Can I just say something?
The J-Lo joint.
Illuminati. This sounds real conspiracy theory, what we dropping right now.
No, no, this ain't no conspiracy. This is just real talk. This is just urban.
It was a Manolo Blahnik.
It was Manolo. Okay. Yeah. Manolo Timberland situation that Steve Madden knocked that gave, you know, broke people access to
luxury.
A luxury look. It's what they call in the advertising business the aspirational market.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It gave people a chance to look like they had that J-Lo, Beyonce, Timberland, Manolo on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now they got the look. You know, she was in the club with the shoe that looked like, but then you don't really have it. So now you have this sense of, you know what I'm saying, this thing that you are there.
Yeah.
And then you can shit on the eight ball cat because he's there.
Right.
But then you have that third party looking like, motherfucker, that ain't even shit.
You ain't that hot, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So Steve gave access to a motherfucker to feel like they could shit on a motherfucker that ain't even that far away from them. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Steve, it boils down to Steve. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking Steve.
Fucking Steve.
Oh, Steve.
I heard Steve was a cool dude, though.
He probably cool little motherfucker. He getting away with
my dude from Miami was in jail with him.
Oh, right. But he told me about that. He said he was jail. Right?
Jail?
In a good jail,
Steve
though.
Went to the Wolf of Wall Street shit. Steve Madden went to jail.
Oh, that's right.
He's a felon.
Ain't that a bitch?
You know what I'm saying? So my man said he was a cool dude, though. He was in that.
White felon.
White felon.
There's got to be something there. There's a fucking movie out there. White felon. Anyway, so he's in there. Oh, shit. But damn, man. He went in on that. I mean, back to what I was saying about Subway slander. I don't know if y'all saw this shit. But niggas took a photo of me on the train, right?
Sleeping?
So, not even
your
sleeping.
Hood anxiety came
true.
Your
hood anxiety came true. I was
you
ready.
You brought
it
on yourself, man.
I bite her. And they just took a photo of me on the train. I'm looking tired. I'm looking dead at the motherfuckers taking the photo. I don't know if I knew. But yeah. It was one of those things where it was like, all right, I'm on the train. And what, nigga? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to go broke trying to impress broke niggas. You understand? God,
that's the Steve Madden effect.
Because only the hood would really see the shame in taking the train. Like, I was talking to some other motherfuckers that was not, they wouldn't, that their thinking wasn't hood-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, so they took a photo of me on the train and shit. And they was like, so what's the problem?
Exactly.
Bloomberg
be on the train. Well, you
that's
could be on
the
train
best
every
motherfucker.
Day. I was on the train next to him
one
day.
He was on the train, yeah. Bloomberg, billion-dollar Bloomberg.
Billion-dollar Bloomberg.
Anyway.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, but that was a funny one, man.
Wait, but how'd you find out?
Shout out to
Slander. They tagged your ass. That's fucked up.
Niggas tagged me. They hit me, or they hit Charlamagne and Andrew Schultz. Like, yo, is this your man D Lemon on the thing? So he retweeted it, like, ask him. You know what I mean? And then so I had to repurpose the slander. I turned that shit into a hood TMZ situation.
What'd you
Oh, so that was real.
That was real.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you saw the hood TMZ.
I saw the hood TMZ. I thought you just made that shit up as your hood anxiety.
No. That photo, I didn't take that photo. That photo was repurposed. Somebody was trying to slander the kid, and I had to run it through my own filter.
That's even funnier.
I said, listen, man. Yeah. That's how you know the hood anxiety is real, when you already got your defenses up. He like, nigga, I got the defense software. Who are you fucking with, nigga? I've been on this.
You know what I mean? You can't fuck with the mouse.
You know, that's how, but that's how, that's ain't that.
OG Big Brother Trio. Fuck the God.
I've been waiting for the hate. You understand? Anyway.
Oh, man.
I'm going to stay in the writer's room.
Oh, shit,
I'm
going to
stay in the writer's room.
Nah, man. Fuck it. Spread them wings. Did you see that? I just tweeted some shit. They got a thing. It's the writers. You sent me something about the writers, but there's another thing with it's pretty much all the writers that are. I don't know if they nominated for awards yet because they haven't been announced. But it's like Jon Favreau, who wrote Chef, the woman who wrote Gone Girl, Nolan, Chris Nolan's brother, who wrote Interstellar. Chris Rock, who wrote Top 5, and maybe two other guys, and it's like just a
little panel.
It's a 60-minute panel, and they talking, and there's some motherfucking jewels on there.
Where is this?
It's online. I tweeted it. It's the last thing I saw. Jewels for Writers.
I see right now.
But what I thought was so ill, and it was kind of ill. Chris Rock was talking about writer's block, and he was like, "I don't believe in writer's block." He said, "I believe in reading block." And he was like, typically when I'm not writing no shit or I feel like I ain't got nothing to talk about, it's because I haven't been reading anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of ill because just recently I've been feeling that way. Like, damn, I ain't been reading shit. So I started reading. You feel like, you know, you do something and it opens. It's something that you used to do and you remember. Oh, wow. I remember when I used to do this and I know why I used to do it. Like if you exercise, you haven't been exercising in a while, you get your exercise pump on and you're like, okay. You know what I mean? Well, I was like, damn, because it was a time. You know, after a while, you could get caught up in this internet bullshit
right.
and see that as the only diet of consumption. And then when you go read some regular shit, you're like, wait a minute. Okay, I'm exercising my brain here because I was feeling fucking stupid over here talking about Drake and Tiger beefing. You know what I mean? Like, so go ahead and read something. You know,
yeah, pick up a book. I put a post up like that the other day.
Oh, where?
Yeah, I read. I go to Barnes & Noble every Sunday.
I used to do that when they used to have them.
They still got them. They got Barnes. They ain't got none of them other joints. They ain't got them Borders and none of that shit no more.
Boarded up. It's been done.
You know what I'm saying? I started when we was at Vibe.
Yeah.
We had that Monday sales meeting. So Sunday I spent reading a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Be on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
So it just became a habit, routine. So I've always just done that shit for the last, you know, shit, about 14 years. Every Sunday. Just go read random, just pull a bunch of random shit off the shelf. And, you know, ironically, you know what I'm saying, I pulled that Chris Rock joint down.
The New Yorker.
Read that joint from, you know what I'm saying, top to bottom. That was it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good one. That's a good one. I'm reading the biography of Flip Wilson right now.
Dope.
Geraldine.
What do you say about that?
I'm in the middle right now, but I tell you one thing, he wasn't fucking with Bill Cosby either. He was, you know, but it wasn't no beef, it was more like a jealousy thing. Because it's interesting, when you read these books, you kind of see the chronology, like the chronology, whatever. the chronology of these motherfuckers, right? Of these comedians, the chronology of these heroes. So, fucking, all right, fuck that. We fall down. All right, so boom. So the first, it seemed like Bill was like the first nigga popping. And then it took a minute, and he was so clean with it. It took a minute, like, after him, Red Fox started popping. So now it was like, okay, Red Fox is dirty, Bill Cosby's clean. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like right after that was when Flip came up. And then behind that was, like, Richard and all of them. But, it was interesting because it was one of those situations where you're just looking at it, and it was like, damn, it's only one black guy out there popping.
Right.
And he was kind of envious of the dude's position. And I'm not sure I'm sure they're going to meet at some point and be cool at some point, but I ain't get to that point in the book. So at this point, he's a little tight.
You talk about them dresses he used to wear?
He's going to get into it. Geraldine. I'm sure he's going to get into it. I'm sure. You know.
Geraldine was like his main
said that shit like he got some questions.
I know, yeah.
I just want to know what was going about through the man's mind.
But go ahead, say what?
Oh, Geraldine was like his bread and butter,
that
right?
That was the shit that got him. I think that was the thing that got him popping. What got him noticed though was Red Fox. Red Fox. See the shit you read these biographies. What's really funny to me about him is it always seems like all these great people in history just hung out together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's only because they made history that you talking about it. There was other people in the mix.
Right.
But if you was at the party and Jay-Z, Beyonce was there, you're not going to really talk about Harry, Steve, and Jane because they didn't do shit. You know what I mean? They did something, but it wasn't nothing historical.
Right.
Hold my jacket.
You know what I mean? So if you was ever in a room with some of these people, it's like when you read these books, it's like, oh, yeah. Red Fox and Malcolm X was washing dishes together, and they caught one Chicago Red, one Detroit Red.
Yeah, they'll find a way to put that in the narrative.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? I knew this person. I knew that person. Oh, that was my man's too. Yeah.
Oh, I was there.
We've been there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I always get this thing where somebody always be like, "Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I remember when we came to this vibe party and shit, and it was the famous night when Jay-Z,
Beyonce,
Jay-Z, Dame, and Aaliyah was in there.
Oh, that's an OG.
You know what I'm saying? It was a Lil' Kim party. And I must have invited 1,000 motherfuckers to that shit because everybody was like, yeah, you invited me to that shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Aaliyah, Jay, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All these people in that Lil' Kim. And Ali was there too. Goddamn.
Ali sent the invites out.
He was the nigga that got me in.
Nigga forgot you was there. Forgot you was in that bitch.
I know. Wait, who forgot? You talking about the nigga recounting the story. You waiting for your name to come up.
You know what I'm saying?
He was the group admin.
I think it was another motherfucker too.
I was at this party.
Keith Sweat was there as well. That was crazy. Keith Sweat was there.
Hold my jacket.
I got to make some history. I got to make some motherfucking history.
Hold my jacket.
Hold my jacket.
Hold my jacket.
It's time to make some history, goddamn.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me.
I get a couple dollars after this event is over, but for right now, I need you to hold my jacket.
Hold my jacket.
We need to change this conversation.
But that's a hood anxiety, becoming that dude, right?
This is what...
enough of these. We got to let the people know what that is. We got to illustrate that shit for the folks. But yeah, I guess that is a hood anxiety.
It's a hood anxiety.
Where you don't, your props aren't being recognized. You kind of waiting on like, yo.
Like,
you
motherfucker, I introduced y'all.
They're good for that shit. But don't forget, though. But then it's funny because a person to say they'll do all of that shit to get themselves back into that conversation, but then act as if they, you know, they ain't tripping. And be like, yo, well, wait, hold, all right, nigga, I know you met Jay-Z and Aaliyah and Danger, but my man, I'm the one that put you, right? Did I not? True, true, true. Listen, but I ain't, you know.
I ain't tripping on that shit. I know how that shit goes.
You could always identify
that cat by the unintentional photobomb. He finds his way into the picture unintentionally, just kind of, you know, kind of off to the side.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here.
but what's worse than that? I mean, being that guy, I don't know if I want to be that guy, but I tell you, I don't. I hate being the guy that wishes he did take a picture. When you're like, fuck, you know what? I was in the building. I should have had something to document that. I got no proof.
Right.
I got no proof.
You got to get a cosign. Tell him I was
always
there.
Always contingent.
That nigga going to get wrote out the story.
Exactly.
Like, look at the Instagram feed. You know what I'm saying? Shit, it's me, it's Jay, it's, you know, it's Leah.
I was there. I'm trying to find an old email.
I ain't see you in that, mom.
a BCC.
You got the one nigga that was your witness. He died. Now you sad because now you just unrecognized for the rest of your life. Oh, man.
But how do we get into this conversation about the
recognition?
We're talking about the Jay-Z and the party.
We're talking about Flip Wilson. We're talking about history.
Being in the room and ending up as a part of that story.
You know, I saw the trailer for the new Dr. King movie, Selma.
Oh, you got another one?
Shout out to Ava DuVernay.
It's like Ava, the fifth Dr. King.
Ava DuVernay.
I'm so upset.
From out of nowhere, middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
When is that ever coming out on DVD, though? That's like, it's been out. I heard it's amazing.
It's a good movie.
I heard it's the shit, but you can't find it nowhere.
Middle of nowhere.
Dude, I've been searching for that. I called you about
that's
that.
We've been trying to find Ava.
Ava, you got to let us know.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Come to the podcast. You know what I'm
saying? Ava, we need you to come to the podcast.
All right, just email us back.
Everybody talking about it's a classic, and I go to search for it.
It's a good movie. It speaks to a lot of, you know what I'm saying, relevant topics.
It's not even available on torrents.
Oh, you motherfucker.
I'm joking. Cut that out. No, fucking.
Nah, Ava really ain't coming.
Ava could come. Oh, Ava, come on now.
Come on now, Ava.
Come on now.
But I saw the trailer for Selma, and I was in the theater, and I was like, I hope that, you know, it's just a trailer, but it'd be nice to see if they gave shout outs to the people that were around Dr. King. Because typically, like you're saying, the narrative, the certain people get elevated up high in the narrative.
Right.
But there's people around them that made that narrative possible.
Who you gotta
go negotiate the rights for each one of those families.
Hey, we ain't got time for that.
It's better just to, you know what I'm saying, just generically.
Generic. We know they were black.
It cost enough just dealing with the King family.
It's a lot.
So now you gotta do the Jesse. I mean, come on.
Yo, Dr. King's son be wearing the widest suits ever. You ever look at this nigga's shoulder pad game? Go Google him, research, son. His suits.
Listen, I got tall shoulders to stand on. I got some big shoulders to stand on, brother. Got to make sure I wear these wide suits.
Man, y'all ain't shit.
Y'all ain't shit.
We on the come up, man. We'll apologize later.
There was an article in the New York Times about that. They pulled a letter from the archives of the FBI. That was going to Dr. King, where they were just trying to discredit him by all the ladies he was with.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, they try to discredit him, but that still don't destroy the fact that he did so much. Like, I could care less if he slid off.
But you ain't saying that about Bill Cosby.
Actually, that's actually why I brought it up. I want to introduce that topic out.
Does
Bill Cosby's rape allegations discredit the man's, you know, body of work?
I think one thing, let's be clear now. Not only is it allegations, but there's a big difference between slided off and raping.
Let's be clear.
Slide off is consensual still. Rape is you bogarting. You know what I mean? So I can't really put them in the same thing. You know what I mean? They both were.
Now, hold on. I slid off, okay? I didn't rape nobody. Hold on now.
Exactly.
Don't be putting me in the same conversation with that Cosby nigga.
Don't you do it.
Don't you do it.
I slid off now.
That shit crazy. 2 weeks ago, you wanted to be in the same conversation with Bill Cosby.
Ain't that a bitch? Ain't that a bitch? Sometimes you want to get out the conversation. Like, whoa. Hey, listen, I prefer you not drop my name in this one.
I imagine that joke you used to have. What's that? I may have cheated, but I ain't raped nobody.
Did I say that shit?
You said it about the weed and the drugs. Like, I did weed.
Nah, I ain't raped nobody. I ain't, never bothered.
What's the joke, man?
It's an old joke.
It's just vices. We talk about how you justify yourself by a lot of harsh vices.
I ain't raped nobody.
But, what the fuck, man? What else?
But Dr. King, so, with Cosby, like, does the rape, I mean, maybe there's, as I understand it, this rape allegation has come out a bunch of times with Cosby. This ain't the first time this has come out.
Yeah.
But the media is so much hotter now that maybe it'll stick.
It was a lot of different things. It was the rape. It was the sexual harassment type of deal. It was it was the baby outside. That you ain't acknowledging.
Does this discredit the man's body of work though?
In this present moment, it does. Okay. But over time, it'll fizzle. It'll do what it do, and then we'll see how it plays out. What actually is real and what's not. History. You know what I'm saying? It will play itself out. But you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, a lot of this shit, like Ebola. Remember Ebola?
That shit was popping for like 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Like, remember that shit? Yeah. That shit was cracking last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now ain't nobody talk about it. Everybody back to slapping hands, going bowling.
I know, kissing people in the mouth.
Kissing in the club. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think, he going to have an asterisk. But most people don't read the asterisk.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Most people don't read the asterisk. They just keep going.
So right now, it's a little thing.
This definitely self-checks him. Like, he can't come out the way he's talking about the black community. Like, you guys got to get your... Because you could not be like, hey, hold on.
Right.
Man. Right.
But he can't die today.
No, he got to live a
little
longer.
He got to live a little longer.
To let that wash away?
He got to live a little longer.
For a couple reasons. Because then there's going to be no real mercy for him either if he died. They'd be like, all right then. Justice. You know what I mean? Like, you got to let it ride out. How long do you think it's going to take? About 2015?
Depends on what actually is real. You know what I'm saying? What comes out is real. What shakes out is, did he really do some shit or did he not?
So you're saying if the story gets deeper, then it could be even worse. But if the story stays as it is now, what do you think?
As is allegations, you know what I'm saying? He waited out a few years, you know what I'm saying? Do something else that's good.
Lay low.
At least good. You know what I'm saying? Stop.
What could he do?
I don't know. Shit. If I knew what he could do, I knew what I could do. I'm trying to get in the history. He already there. He's trying to make his history right.
I'm trying to break in. He's trying to fix his Wikipedia. Look, can we take that off? I just want to. We still, that's uncontested. Can we take that? Thank you. Please. Could be fine. Thank you.
Shit. I mean, Michael Jackson, he's
Olivia Pope.
His legacy stood strong. I mean, despite
the. Yeah, he wrote it out long enough to die in the right spot.
Right. And Mike did. Didn't Mike get? He went to court and he won at some point, right? Or a couple settlements, like there was.
Yeah,
was
he had some settlements too. That's what Bill Cosby got now. Settlements.
Yeah, but the thing, I think the difference was, it happened in real time. Like when Mike got his settlement, we all heard about it at the time. Like with the Cosby shit, it's been so quiet that there was no moment of "I told you, motherfuckers."
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But Mike had the asterisk.
Oh yeah.
He lived on the asterisk. Oh, yeah. And he died in the place where he was about to be coming back. Yeah. He had a tour set up. You know what I'm saying? They was already promoting it. And then, you know what I'm saying, he went out.
Which is a tribute. Most people give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you get the benefit. All right. He was coming back. He was making his way back.
Yeah, let him get
Mike.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Then you got to rejoice and, you know what I'm saying, live through the shit that he actually did. Now, the motherfucker who, you know what I'm saying, who is standing strong through his scandal, his asterisk.
R. Kelly. Yeah.
Kelly got hit record right now.
Does he?
Yeah, with the that shit, you know what I'm saying? What's that shit with, what's her name? Oh. Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, word.
You know what I'm saying? I got you. This is my wife's favorite song and shit.
Really?
Yeah.
R. Kelly done came back a couple times.
But R. Kelly got I Believe I Can Fly.
Lazarus.
Yeah. One Sunday I was in the Barnes and the Nobles. Mm-hmm. And they was playing that I Believe I Could Fly.
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know what I'm saying, That motherfucker probably did some fucked up shit in his time.
Yeah.
But he gave the world "I Believe I Could Fly."
Yeah.
That's a good ass motherfucking song.
That's a lot of inspiration.
That's a lot of inspiration.
Was that Space Jam?
Yeah,
that's a whole lot of right?
They play that shit in the church.
That's a church song, that's graduation
song. That's a anything, dog.
Parole hearing.
I believe he gave the world "I Believe I Could Fly."
And he gave people "Step in the Name of Love," which was, and that was shortly right after the scandal.
Right.
And that shit was jamming.
That shit shut the scandal down a whole lot.
That was the cookout anthem.
Hilarious.
But that "I Believe I Could Fly," man. He got a half an asterisk and shit. You know what I'm saying? He had his little settlement. He had his little day in the court.
So you think that with "I Believe I Could Fly," had he not had the scandal, do you think he'd be higher at all?
Oh, he would be higher.
He'd be
as
up
fuck.
There, up there.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I do think he cooled off a bit. He's still humble about it. Like, he ain't full on.
He ain't full on. He can't. You know what I'm saying? He can't just go out there and grab his dick no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He got to, you know what I'm saying, take a different approach.
Uh-huh.
But
he probably misses that.
He got that "I Believe I Could Fly" on y'all ass. Yeah.
I love that for any occasion.
Hey, that's going to be on his, when he down, he get to the pearly gates, that's going to be, you know what I'm saying, that's going to be on the resume. Like.
But first line, will it be accused pedophile?
Alleged.
Alleged, I mean, pedophile, first line.
He married
Grammy
the
award.
One look. He married Aaliyah.
Okay.
So he'll be like Jerry Lee Lewis and shit.
Okay.
I don't know what you
Woody
call
Woody Allen.
That.
Do niggas even read obituaries anymore? They just look at the hashtag. Like, damn, and hashtag.
The hashtag is the obituary.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
if you regular, you gotta go get an obituary.
Yeah, you gotta hope somebody check it out.
Yeah. And then the funeral homes got a service now where they post your obituary and shit
on their Twitter,
on their page and shit. Like, if you search somebody and they died and shit, like, their obituary come up on a lot of the funeral home pages nowadays. Like, I was reading somebody.
Oh, of that funeral home. Like, all the people. Yeah. Like, that's cool.
Like, you know what I'm saying? They had their obituary, and then you'll see at the bottom, like, different services if you want to be reminded of the, you know what I'm saying, their birthday or their death day.
There's a service that'll actually man their social media.
Right. That's crazy.
Let's
meme me.
That's when you didn't really make the history books.
That's when you still at it. You still at it. Like, come on, man. Like, let it go.
Right, I mean, yeah. Who let it go? I mean, they ain't there to do it. I mean, that's the.
That sound like you kind of say.
Who you know? You don't say. You don't know. You don't say that shit.
Keep my Twitter popping.
No. It's a
on your gravestone at.
Always follow Friday and me.
No, motherfucker.
On your gravestone, you got your handle.
It's just some shit that's up there on the page when you Google it.
Okay.
It ain't no shit that you select.
No,
hey,
I'm
listen.
Talking about they have services that will keep your Facebook.
Oh, I ain't
and
know about
Twitter
that. That ain't what I'm talking
death.
About.
Yeah,
nah, motherfucker, shut my shit down. I'm gonna donate. I'm saying, will my shit to somebody.
You know, sell off that domain name finally.
sell off the domain.
You can finally have it.
Shit.
Yo, Tupac just retweeted me.
This a bit. Never mind.
What? Go ahead, man.
I'm not gonna say, but there's some dead people that still tweet on.
Are they verified though?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
I'm not, man. Motherfucker,
how you gonna bring that
up?
Is the scandalous like that?
Yeah, I'll talk about it afterward.
Boom, boom.
I don't want to get into that type of shit.
Now, Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, just follow me. Just follow me on Twitter.
I wonder if Ebola unfollowed already or they still
do. They still with me.
Everybody unfollowed Ebola.
I never followed
this motherfucker here. Yeah. He ain't popping no more.
Oh,
but the media loves a good discrediting story. They feast on it.
Well, they discredited it this week.
Just the Cosby story, you know, when the Clinton scandal happened. Anytime you discredit a hero.
I mean, that's some new shit to talk about. They don't care about discrediting. All they want is some new shit to talk about. They need new shit to talk about daily.
What is? I get some interesting shit. Something about starting new.
What's that?
Did you see that video?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
See the video. See the video of the gay dude in church.
Oh my God.
Who had been
delivered?
Had been delivered
from the menses.
From the menses.
I don't like menses no more.
I ain't gay no more. I'ma get me a women's.
I'ma get me a women's. I love women's now.
Man.
I like the women's.
That's the true sign of heterosexuality when you pluralize words that are already plural.
Oh, man.
Women's.
Man.
That shit, I mean, that's so
heterosexuals, dude.
That shit funny, but that shit was also sad.
Oh, super
shit.
Sad.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, one that he had to be delivered from his situation. I mean, come on, man. Really?
I mean, it's tough. It's just, you know what it is? It's like one of those things where you got to live for you, you know, but it's kind of hard. No, but it's hard to do that if you defer to other people, you know, and then obviously when you involve the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, the church is, you know, you have people that are God fearing. So, yeah. The way that they hear the Bible's interpretation is it's against
what?
You being gay or you being, you know, your what? Lifestyle, your sexuality, and you will not be allowed into this kingdom. And if you believe in that, if that really holds weight with you, if you don't seek outside information or challenge that thought or feel strong enough to be like, well, fuck it, man, I got to be me.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
will be that person that will do something as extreme as saying, well, I'm not gay no more. You know what I mean? And dance with a bunch of dudes after you've been delivered in the child. I want women's. You know what I mean? But it's like,
women's.
It's horrible because but the sad thing is he thinks he's got not only God's acceptance, he thinks he has the acceptance of these people who right. are still going to side-eye him. And now the catch that was,
forced them people to come down there and dance with him.
The whole shit, now he's all the way outside. You know, yeah, it's fucking, it's sad. It's sad.
And if you listen, desire is a hard thing to fight.
Well, you know, I was talking about this with my wife when we laughed at it first, and then I was like, well, you know.
Then consciousness hit.
No, not consciousness, but. <That's how it hit.
laughs> Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Nah, but
Ali, this is
nah,
your
but
conscience.
You know, you got like Donnie McClurkin who was
thing.
Practicing, you know what I'm saying, homosexual activities.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm saying?
You said that shit like magic. You said practicing homosexual like that shit was magic. It was a trick.
Cause I wasn't sure if he was gay or if he was just, you know what I'm saying, doing homosexual acts. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But
that just said practicing. It's
y'all
shit.
Motherfuckers ain't shit.
Now go ahead, man. We out here.
It sounded like a routine.
Shut the fuck
up.
What's wrong with y'all?
He was practicing.
This is the third time I've tried this. Let me see that. Let's see.
Now, but Donnie McClurkin, he was doing gay, being gay.
Okay.
And then he was not. And he talks about how, you know what I'm saying, he has, you know, the urges, you know what I'm saying, but, you know what I'm saying, he's living in a heterosexual, you know what I'm saying,
realm
right now. So, you know, I didn't know if that was him being delivered or him just, you know, fighting off the feeling.
That's what that's my point. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
So, you know what I'm saying? You know, my wife said it was a difference, you know what I'm saying, between somebody that's born a certain way and then somebody just fighting off something that, you know, they want to do. So I don't know if Donnie McClurkin was born that way and chose not to be that way so that he could fit within the ideal realm of how the church sees things or how Christianity sees things, or if he's doing it, you know what I'm saying, for his own reasons that he just wanted to be this way. It's hard, you know, because you don't really know what's deep down in somebody.
Dude, deep down, 90, I forget the statistic, but it's like 95% of diets don't work.
What are you talking about?
Because, you know, you want to die. Like, I'm not going to eat no more pastry. I'm not going to eat no more, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to fuck no more outside women. And my diet's been working.
But that's different, though, because you weren't fucking outside women ever. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that, like, if that was something that you was used to doing and then you had to cut back from it, it would be harder than if something, you've never done that. You know what I mean? When you committed to being married,
right.
You was
but,
like, I'm
but
committed
when
to
you
being
committing
married.
To be married, you committing to not have no more new cooch.
Yeah.
At the same time,
but outside women is even different than new.
Yeah, outside women is free radicals. Yeah, that's different. That's free radical shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole different situation.
That's a whole different scenario.
Go ahead,
but also when you you know, back to the, when you marry someone, it's a contract though. Like, you guys come together to meet each other's needs. So
right.
That's, you know, you guys got to work together to keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
But if at any point the need structure starts to get dilapidated, you may like say, hey, listen, babe, we're not really, you know, working out then no more.
So the contract is null and void?
If it ain't working for both of y'all.
That ain't what the contract say.
But when I, but with
the
sexual
contract,
act,
the contract say
death do you,
to death do you part.
No, because you not
say here clearly.
Nah, but if your lady did something, if your lady over time wasn't meeting your needs, you'd have to question the relationship. Like, hey, baby,
no, you don't. You question how y'all doing that part of the relationship.
Absolutely.
That's the only one little part of the relationship.
Absolutely,
that's still a question.
It's important.
Right, so it's an act of discipline because you guys agreed on that. Like, we believe that together we can do, you know, be well together.
Mm-hmm.
But with the sexuality piece, I mean, dude, like, you it's not something you can just get on stage and be like, I love women's is now. Like, you know, you gonna see somebody you like, I don't know.
How
dude.
You know?
I believe that, you know, sexuality is inherent. You know, it's inherent to you and you.
Eh, I don't know. I mean, because I'm only in what I'm in my realm. I had an aunt who was gay. And then now she's not, according to her. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure how it goes. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not, you know what I mean? I've never been in that situation. I've never been in that realm.
Did she, like, was she with somebody else now? She?
Nah, I mean, she spent years as a gay woman. And then, you know what I'm saying? At a certain point, you know, she was not.
It's interesting. I mean, it's not to say that this couldn't happen. It's just, it what seems is very convenient. You know what I mean? It's like, it was like, well, listen, I'm not, this is it. The ceremony is Sunday. I'm not doing it after Sunday. Because,
this is it.
Yeah, either, well, listen, if we stretch our imagination, maybe he was like, you know what? I'm deal with this shit. I'm going to pray real hard. Blase mm-hmm. skipping, and I was delivered.
Do you think he got it in the night before?
Probably, but I know
you ever been in front of the church and said something you ain't really was real about?
I'm sure, but I don't really try to play that in front of the church shit too tough. I'll be honest with you. When they do the altar call, there's plenty of times I'll be like, I think I should go up there. But I'm like, nah, I'm good. Because I know, like, I don't fool with the church like that. Like, I don't really want to. I'm not even religious no more. I don't even go to church like that. But I do respect the culture of the church, right? Mm-hmm. And also respect the fact that although I might feel differently about it, mm-hmm. these people in here are mm-hmm. invested in
right,
it, right?
Right,
so if I'm gonna stand before these people, I'm gonna say, listen, I'm not drinking no more liquor. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I'm not doing it. Whatever vice I got, I'm not doing it. I'm telling this whole congregation, I'm not doing it. I'm gonna feel and if I know in the moment I'm lying like a motherfucker, I'm going to feel a pang of guilt. However, but this is the thing is, like I said, I'm not religious, so I don't really go to church like that. So that ain't really my people. I might be doing that. My grandmother say, hey, I need you to come out there, whatever. You do it for your grandmother. Because sometimes you do church things for your church people. You know what I'm saying? But if that is your family and you've been outside the margins for whatever, then it's kind of like, even if that man is gay and he's like, yo, you know what? I think I could not do this to have that. I'll do it, right? That's the option. It's either he was delivered or he chose to say, I'm going to live straight or heterosexual. I'm going to be with women's instead of
men's.
Living as a gay man. Now, the thing is, I hope that he's fulfilled by that. I hope that because the thing that I'm seeing him do, if he's not really delivered, is he's chasing conditional love, and that shit ain't never going to be. It's never going to give him anything. And the fucked up thing is he's never going to be able to live as himself. And it's fucked up. And, you know. But shit was hilarious. I can't even lie to you. I mean, I hate to dismiss this whole shit like that, but I mean, it had some funny sound bites to it.
That shit was funny.
But it is sad over.
It was funny because of the absurdity of it. Like,
why? What do you mean? Why was so absurd?
But that's because it's absurd to you. That's the crazy
Absolutely.
Thing about
yeah.
religion and ritual. It's like, you know.
That's a good point.
What was absurd, though?
On so many levels, like, because you're coming out in a celebratory fashion because now you're heterosexual, right?
But I don't think it was just him coming out. I think they had people coming up. You know what I'm saying? The preacher was calling people up to be delivered. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes they just call you up. If you feel like you want to be delivered from something, come up to the front and you will be delivered because, you know what I'm saying, God said it will be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think it was one of them moments. It wasn't like he had a coming out ceremony and, you know, planned this and sent out invitations and everybody came to the church to watch him be delivered. It was a spur of the moment thing where you sitting in your chair and you feeling the moment and the preacher is telling you, you know what I'm saying? He's preaching real good, and he's telling you, you know what I'm saying? If you know, God wants you to come up here right now to be delivered from whatever it is that you feel like you need to be delivered from. And he walked up and felt like, okay, this is it. All right, I think this is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been delivered. From what? I ain't gay no more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the men's no more.
Yeah.
I like the women's.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Amen.
I mean, yeah, it's a good point. It's absurd to me from my perspective. Yeah. From where I come from, it was absurd to me because it was like, why is that something you?
It's just sad. It's just sad because it's like, and it's me assuming.
What if he was delivered?
But that's my thing. If he's delivered, then that is a testimonial, and that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it was. But then that's the truth. Who knows? Only him and God know for real.
We go catch up with him, and he with his wife.
Yeah, but my thing is, why?
No, what you call him? Say he was delivered. What's his name? Hide your wife. Hide your kids.
Oh, Antoine Dodson.
Yeah, he was delivered. Antoine Dodson. But my thing is the underlying theme though here is why is turning heterosexual an act of deliverance?
That's
the underlying threat.
Right. Like, that's
were you ashamed?
No, that's, you know, from us looking at it from the outside.
Correct.
As a public.
Correct.
It is, why is that shameful?
Correct,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That is the first thing you think. Why is that? You know what I'm saying? But if that's his personal thing and he's feeling that kind of way about it, you know what I'm saying? Then it's different.
Absolutely.
Now, demons are your demons, basically.
Right. You know what I'm saying? If we looked all at it and be like, well, damn, that ain't a problem. You know what I'm saying? But if you sitting there feeling it, then it's something else for you personally. You know what I'm saying? It was his personal deliverance. That's what it was all about.
This is the first time, though, I was on Facebook and I see people putting up all the time. And at a certain point, it got hacked. Like, this is a hack status update. And I feel like writing, because everyone kept putting up like it was fresh news. Like, yo, I found this video. I was like, dude.
That shit was funny, though.
It was.
funny.
That's why that shit was on everybody's page. Just
it's
like
hack.
That, like that
but
smack.
Now, why is
that
it funny?
Smack from.
Why is it funny, though?
From the because the shit was just. The absurdity of it wasn't the action or the congregation or the ritual. The absurdity of it was, I'm not gay no more. And then the language and the pluralizing plural words. I like women's. That was the funny, but that shit was funny.
And the fact that you kind of think that he's still gay.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's obviously still gay.
That ruffled bow tie.
Yeah.
That's what makes it like.
I mean, I'm not into like gender norms, but I try not to be, but like he had certain things in his disposition.
Yeah.
But
he's been living as a gay man for years, so he's going to be, you know what I'm saying, gay-ish. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, even if he was delivered, it would take time for him not to be, you know what I'm saying, doing what he did before.
I hear his pastor going, listen, it's about progress, not perfection. We will wither away those remaining remnants of your gayhood.
Hilarious.
But I still lack curtains.
I like curtains too.
I like the frios. But that was it. Oh, we got.
Man, y'all ain't like shit, man. Damn.
No. We had a longer conversation I was going to get into, but it's a little
late
now.
Go ahead, man. What you got?
Talk about it.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I had a situation where I wanted to talk about confidence. We can leave on this. D and I was talking about this. I had a situation, dude, where I was playing a club, a comedy club, and I did a set, which I thought in my head was like a 6 or a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I get off stage, and the booker's like, you did great. Love your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me wanted to go, nah, man, it wasn't all that.
Yeah.
And I had to fall back and be like, let him have his love for me and leave it at that. Let me not shit on my own parade.
Right.
I hear that.
You know.
I love that line. Let him have his love for me. That's the illest shit ever. But
you like to shit on your own parade.
that's the thing. That's why I brought it to you guys, you know, so we could talk about it. Because it was a moment I had to literally stop myself. And this is based on a conversation Dean and I had a while ago where I was like, by you shitting on it, you change his perception of you.
Yeah.
If he thought it was good, let him have it. Don't go in there talking about, nah, you know, I ain't think it was all that. Yeah. But
you make them doubt themselves, and then it gets them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I remember a casting director told me that a long time ago. Like, there was a tape I did, and I thought it was some bullshit. And as soon as I was done with the tape, I was like, that was some bullshit. You know, because sometimes you often feel like if you did some shit that wasn't your best, you want to be the first person to take the shot at yourself. You know what I mean? It's back to, I can hate myself before y'all niggas can hate me.
Let me get to it before.
Yeah, I'll beat you to the punch type of thing. And then that lady was like, because she was like, yeah, that was a good take. She was like, let me tell you something. She said, if you ever go on an audition and you do a take, and however you feel about it, what they say, let it live. Don't say anything after that, because if you make them doubt how they feel about you, it makes them uncomfortable and they won't work with you. And it was just, it's deep, you know, it goes deeper than that, but it's just like, let it be. You did what you needed to do. Your job is done. As soon as you say thank you or good night, whatever you did on that stage, you serviced, you know, whatever. And whoever that goes from the reception, it's none of your business.
Right.
You know?
And a lot of artists, like when you take artists, you know what I mean? Especially artists who are doing stuff independently in a bubble, in their own bubble. You know what I'm saying? They're taking the things that they're making things that they feel like people should like, and they put it out in the world. And I learned this, like, when you're dealing with artists and they sending you their tapes, and you had to decide on, you know what I'm saying, what songs to use in a movie or what artists to put on a certain event.
Yeah.
I found that when an independent artist sends me a tape or a mixtape, or I listen to a mixtape from an independent artist, 9 times out of 10, the best shit is going to be the first song and the last song. You know what I'm saying? Because they feel like, I'm going to put the best shit first, and then all that shit up top is the shit that they think is really good. But then a lot of times, the most creative shit that they probably ain't as most comfortable with is all the way at the end of that shit. And a lot of times, I found the best shit for the projects that I'm working on at the end of somebody's demo or mixtape or whatever the fuck, because they're judging it from their own perspective from the bubble, and I'm judging it from outside looking in. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you know,
it's like they tried to bury it on the table.
They tried to bury it, but you know what I'm saying? They're like, that's the best. Like, that's your shit. And a lot of times we run from our shit because it, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times our shit is usually the shit that's most true, and a lot of times the truth is most painful if motherfuckers don't like it. You know what I'm saying? And like you say, you want to take that shot at yourself. And like with me, we're doing like creative stuff for clients. And I just learned, like, when it's just clients and money involved, man, you had to learn real quick, just, you know what I'm saying, let that shit live, man.
Let it live. You can't go in there like, yo, I think this is okay.
Yeah, you got to let it live, let them do what it is, so you can get to the other side of that invoice. And then you go in the house and criticize your own self by yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's true.
But it was just something that hit me yesterday. I was like, I disciplined myself not to do that.
Yeah, you got to.
Force myself not to do that no more. Before I used to, but not anymore. I'm like, no.
It's a process. It's every day.
Every day.
I like women's.
Hilarious, man. Oh, man, where you at this week?
I am at St. Mary's University on Friday up in Maryland.
You've been heavy on these colleges.
I'm on a tour, baby.
Shout these colleges out.
Penn State, show love out there. Penn State, hey, Hazleton. SUNY Anza, SUNY Orange, show me love. Shippensburg University, we was out there doing our thing.
You telling them about the conversation, man?
Yeah, man. Okay. We out there telling them about the podcast, the sketches, the videos I'm putting up, all that.
So where else? You said you're going to...
And then laughingglad.com. Check me out. I got all the dates there. Everything else is cooking. I'm in the Bronx on Saturday and up in a little local spot. And then other stuff next week too on the website, laughingglad.com.
There you go.
Mohammed.
Oh,
man. Shit. I'm in Brooklyn, man. We got a couple of projects, like web series projects we got going. I'm getting ready for the big Thanksgiving blowout at the house. So doing a lot of little home improvement projects, trying to get this house together for the big Thanksgiving blowout. And then I'm working on some shows down, some local shows that air locally in 5 markets in the South. So like Columbus, Georgia, Albany, Georgia, Montgomery, a couple more times. That's so sick. Me and my man D. Allen Burgess.
How was homecoming for you?
Homecoming was great.
Okay. Yeah, man. So listen, I'm going to be at, this comes out on a Wednesday, so I'm going to be at the Stand tonight. So you check that out. And then this weekend, I'll be in San Diego at Madhouse Comedy Club on 14th and the 15th. Check my, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much everywhere, Facebook, online, D Lemon Comedy. And we out. Peace.